This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Friday's headlines. And it appears the White House has at least learned some lessons from Tuesday's stunning Republican victory in the Massachusetts Senate race. Voters in the Bay State as well as in national surveys say the White House and Congress need to spend more time figuring out how to improve the economy than worrying about a health care plan the public increasingly disapproves of. The president on the road talking about the economy Friday in Elyria, Ohio, outside of Cleveland. The president says that people need to keep in mind as he tries to fix the economy just how rotten of an economy he inherited from President Bush.
I walked into office a year ago in the middle of a raging economic storm that was wreaking devastation on your town and communities everywhere. And we had to take some very difficult steps to deal with that mess.
The president says one of the issues he decided to take up at the same time was that of comprehensive health care reform. And he admits there are a lot of people that told him with all that was still on his agenda in terms of the economy and the war on terror, it might not be a good idea.
And I had a whole bunch of political advisors telling me this may not be the smartest thing to do. You've got a lot on your plate. Biggest economic crisis since the Great Depression, two wars. You know, you may not get a lot of cooperation. You're going to have a lot of pushback from the insurance companies and the drug companies. It's complicated. Don't do it.
The president also addressed the notion that he has ignored the jobs crisis in this country in order to try and get his version of health care reform passed. The president says that's not true. He spends every waking moment focused on job creation. And he says the health care debate and the effort to create more jobs are part of the same deal.
Let me dispel this notion that somehow we were focused on that and so as a consequence not focused on the economy. First of all I think about is how we're going to create jobs in this area. All I think about is how do we get banks lending again. I've been doing that the entire year. So have folks like Sherrod and Marcy and Betty. But what I also know is that health care is part of the drag on our economy. It's part of the eroding security the middle-class families feel.
But according to voters in Massachusetts, as well as Virginia and New Jersey, and certainly in the latest public opinion polls, the people of this country simply do not approve of the Democratic version of this reform, and even less so, do they like the way that this package was put together with backroom deals for senators from Louisiana, Nebraska, and several other states. But in assessing why it's been such a hard slog for his health care agenda, the president didn't point any fingers of blame at himself or Democrats in Congress. He says it's the special interests that are the reason you probably don't like this plan.
I also know that part of the reason is that this process was so long and so drawn out. This is just what happens in Congress. I mean, it's just an ugly process. You're running headlong into special interests and armies of lobbyists and partisan politics that's aimed at exploiting fears instead of getting things done. And then you've got ads that are scaring the bejesus out of everybody.
That's not the reality at all, according to Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah. He says the reason there's been so much friction over health care is that, first of all, it's a bad bill which will bankrupt the American people and is probably unconstitutional by forcing Americans to buy health insurance. But above all that, he says the Republicans were never really invited into the process. So it's pretty hard to build consensus when you leave the other party outside the door.
And frankly, there hasn't been a real effort to try and work with Republicans. If they would, I think on a step-by-step basis, we probably could come up with a health care bill that would work.
In the wake of the Republican win in Massachusetts on Tuesday night, the president's been focused almost singularly in public on the economy. On Thursday, announcing two additional changes he'd like to make to the banking industry in terms of refusing to allow banks to consolidate and also banning banks from doing hedge funds. Barney Frank of Massachusetts is the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. His panel has already passed a bill through the House of Representatives to address banking reform. And he says what the president wants to do is just a couple more add-ons to what's already been done.
What the president proposed yesterday was to break up banks that get too big, and also to prevent banks which have deposit insurance and a deposit insurance guarantee from doing proprietary trading that is on their own account, and secondly, from owning a hedge fund or private equity.
Congressman Frank, who was appearing on MSNBC, says there's really only one way he would like to see banks making any money.
I don't want the banks making their money from this kind of trading and investments. I want them to make their money by loans. And to some extent, this is aimed at getting the banks more into the lending business, which, frankly, they've moved away from too far.
Senator Hatch, who is also appearing on MSNBC, says he agrees the banks share a decent portion of the blame for what happened on Wall Street back in 2008. But he says the president's proposed fix is the wrong way to go.
What the administration wants to do is add even more expenses, more taxes, more burdens to these banks, and I'm not for that. On the other hand, it is irritating to see some of the huge profits, some of the huge bonuses that are given on Wall Street today. But on the other hand, should we have the federal government file everything up by entering its ugly nose into the business and making it even tougher for our banks to be able to exist or subsist?
Also today, 37 years since the Supreme Court's decision to legalize abortion in this country, the Roe v. Wade decision. Of course, it's been a major social debate ever since. And in commemoration, as always on this day, the March for Life in downtown Washington, an estimated 200,000 people marching along the Washington Mall to the Supreme Court to demand the sanctity of life be upheld in this country and to urge an eventual reversal of that decision from the High Court 37 years ago today. For much more on that, head to worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. There you can hear my interview first with Dr. Charmaine Yost of Americans United for Life. She gives us a sense of the atmosphere from the March for Life today on the Washington Mall, and also tells us why she thinks this is a high watermark for the pro-life movement in terms of its influence on the healthcare debate, as well as the surge of support for the pro-life cause in recent public opinion polls. And she says when you take a close look at it, science is definitely on the side of the pro-life effort. We'll also talk with Bill Workus, a student from the Ave Maria Law School in Florida. He and 32 of his classmates taking part in the March for Life today will talk to him about the surge among young people in support of the pro-life cause. Also today in the interview portions at worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org, my conversation with South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint about the debate over who ought to head the Transportation Security Administration, lingering questions over how the Obama administration handled the attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day, his thoughts on the Massachusetts Senate race and its impact on healthcare and the midterm elections to come. Also, my weekly visit with John Gizzi of Human Events. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.